Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I just want to thank you again, as I always say, for being faithful to this broadcast. I thank God for so much that has transpired within the week that has passed. And I thank Him for the days to come. And I just pray that you are so ever grateful to Yahweh God for where you are right now in your life, to for where He's brought you out of in your life, and to be excited and grateful to where He's taking you and leading you in your life. And we are going to look at a lesson today that truly has a meaning, or it really shows us ourselves concerning prayer. Now, last broadcast, we talked about, or I talked about, Lord, hear our cry, but this broadcast, we're going to focus on prayer in a little deeper area. And the lesson for today is an attitude of prayer, an attitude of prayer. And we're going to look at what attitude means, and we're going to look at 3 points concerning this lesson today. So I just want you to come prepared with your Bible and with your Bible and your tablet and anything else that might help you better deepen your walk with or through God's Word. So if you could listen and have a prepared heart, and we will walk through the pages. Now, I want to give you an outline, and if you could make note of the outline. And the topic, as I stated, is an attitude of prayer. And I want to give you the 3 points to make note of. So if you would, set up your outline in this way. Title being an attitude of prayer. And the first point is development. Or develop, development or develop, either word. Point 2 is lifestyle, lifestyle. And third point, if you would make note, is continual, continual. So, point 1 being develop, point 2 lifestyle, point 3 continual. Now, I want to identify or define the word attitude. But before we get started, before I start defining the word attitude, I want to illustrate. I want to illustrate one thing. When we have an attitude that can come from the perspective of negative, or an attitude that comes from the perspective of positive. And most of us associate, or we have associated our attitude with a negative perspective. I want to look at attitude from the positive perspective. And so we are going to look at this attitude of prayer from a positive perspective. And so I wanted us to make sure that we stay focused on this particular type
of Attitude. Now, I have a co-host with me today, and her name is Wanda Broussard. And she is a sister of mine that I've asked her to walk with me through this lesson and to share with us through the teachings of this lesson. So, Wanda, if you could say hello and just kind of let us know a little bit about yourself concerning your when did you come to know Christ and what does prayer mean to you?
Hi, everybody. Hi, guys. My name is Wanda, and I started this journey around probably 2001, and I think me and Minister Carnita met each other probably 2005, 2006, but it's been a journey that I have been on, and my desire is that I just grow and have a very intimate relationship with God. That's my total focus, is to, as a part of our lesson, is have the attitude of continuing to just stay prayerful in every means. But I'm glad that she offered me to be a part of this lesson, and I hope everybody enjoy.
Amen. Amen. So we are going to look at the points today, and I'm so forever grateful for having sisters that have the same heart I do, that are willing to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And when I say obedient to the Holy Spirit, that just means that we submit to the Holy Spirit's call, to what He wants us to do as we journey through this barren land, as we've heard it, as we journey through what God wants to do with each and every one of us. So, brothers and sisters, as we look through these pages of the scriptures, just come ready, willing and able. And so focus on that particular question that I asked Wanda. What does prayer mean to you? And if you really think about that and make note of it on a sticky pad or just somewhere, and allow your heart to just flow on that question, what does prayer mean to you? And I took a survey of that. Now, it wasn't a large survey. It wasn't anything that was done by a particular company. I did this individual survey within or amongst my coworkers on my job. And I took a couple of surveys, and last broadcast, I read a couple of them concerning this question, what does prayer mean to you? And so I want to share one other person's comment concerning this question, what does prayer mean to you? And this individual indicates prayer is a tool for spiritual growth, a time for me to share my heart with God, praying gratitude for the things that are good and for our connection with one another. Now, I just thought that was so spot on concerning her heart in the meaning of prayer. And I just encourage you to do the same thing. Write the question down. What does prayer mean to me? And write that down and just allow your heart to flow on that question and the answer to flow. And you will see as you reread what you've written and just see how this lesson is going to take you from one stage to the next stage to the next stage. So, Wanda, as we prepare our hearts, if you could go ahead and say a blessing of prayer so that we can get started on our lesson.
Father God, we come before you this evening just thanking you for allowing us to gather together again in your honor to worship you, to adore you, to praise you, to thank you for all that you have given us, for just keeping us this week, keeping us this day, continuing to bless us and giving us the strength to continue to go to our jobs and take care of our families, Lord God. We just glorify you. We magnify you, Lord God. And we thank you and we bless this message that Minister Smith would bring before us. And we ask that you just, you guide us. You work through us. It's thy will, not ours, but your will, God. So we're just open and we're just asking you to use us. Use us according to your glory, dear Lord. These and all things I ask in your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I hope that you prayed with us, and we are going to look at our lesson today concerning an attitude of prayer. So now I want to define the word attitude. Now I went to the dictionary, of course, and that just felt like the proper thing to do. And I went to the dictionary and I looked up the word attitude. And this is what it says. And I wasn't real sure. I knew what attitude meant to me based on upbringing and based on what others, how they use the word attitude. But I wanted to know what old Webster said. And so I went to the dictionary and this is what it says. In the definition, a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. And then it says in the second definition, it says a position of the body proper to, or implying an action or mental state. So, Wanda, what was the short version of the meaning attitude that we came up with?
Mental state of thinking.
Correct. So, attitude. In short, yes, in short, we took this definition and we indicated that it is a mental state of thinking, a mental state of thinking. So let's look at this in illustration. So, Wanda, if you could take us there in an illustration as we discussed earlier concerning attitude.
I thought of it as we know the body needs food continually, and we know that, you know, we're going to feed ourselves for the nourishment, and it's going to be something that we're going to do continually, that we're going to daily do, and that's the attitude of prayer. It's that we have that mental state of thinking that this is what we're going to do, that we have it. Just as we feed our body, we also have to feed our spirit, and that's the mental state of thinking. Because you eat to nourish, to fulfill yourself, or to enjoy a particular meal that you like. So that's the same thing as in the attitude of prayer. You want to be, you know, it's something that you do that not forced, but something that you do that you add to your daily life, your daily way of living.
Amen. Amen. And that is where we're getting to in this lesson. And I thought that was really a good illustration to help us see better the attitude of feeding our body daily. We have a mindset, an attitude of needing the things that the body needs on a continual basis, on a day-to-day basis. It's actually a lifestyle for us to eat daily. And this is the need, food. The body needs food. The body needs water to drink. But we take this same illustration and we apply it in the realm of prayer, having an attitude of prayer. And some things popped out in Wanda's illustration was that the body needs and continual. And those are this is the same focus in this particular lesson on these three points. Now, keep in mind, I gave you point one, which was develop, point two, lifestyle, and point three, continual. And even in the points, you see progression taking place. Develop, lifestyle, continual. And we're going to allow Scripture to show us, feed us, and grow us in each point as we move through the lesson and attitude of prayer. And so, Wanda, you illustrated how the body needs. And keep in mind, physical body. But we're looking at this from a spiritual body of Christ. The body needs prayer. And the body needs to have an attitude of prayer. Let me look at the soul of a man. The body was created by God. And he created the outer structure of a man, and he created the inner structures of the man. And so when we look at the word attitude, it says that it's a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. So I see three things going on within that definition. I see it's a settled way of the mind thinking about something or someone, thinking. And then it affects the feelings of the person. And then it affects the person's behavior. Now, if you would take note that the human body has a soul, S-O-U-L, soul. The soul is made up of three parts. So if you would make note, and you can do a big circle, you could do a smaller circle with inside that big circle, and then you can even do a smaller circle with inside that circle. Whatever illustration you would like, it's to show three parts. But the part that I want to focus on is the soul. The soul is made up of three parts: a mind to think, a will to choose, and feelings are emotions, or emotions are feelings. Three parts: the mind to think, the will to choose, and our emotions or feelings. That's the soul of a person. And it's three parts. So if you would make note of that and always remember that it's made up of the mind to think, the will to choose, and our emotions or feelings. And with that being said, I want us to look at that in detail. And I want to illustrate this because it helps us better understand what propels or affects our attitude. So if we have a mind to think, according to the definition, attitude, it says a settled way of thinking. So we've thought about something, and it has propelled our emotions to take shape, meaning our emotions have been affected in our thinking. And then once our thinking has been set off, then it propels or affected our emotions to be moved, and then it causes our will to choose to do, whether it be negative or positive. It propels all three intricacies to move, to be affected. How is that so? When we think about something, then our emotions become affected by that thought, whether it be positive or negative. Then we are propelled or affected to carry out that thought. Those three things were moved. It's like a cog, C-O-G. It's a device that causes the wheel to turn so strategically. It's like a timepiece, a watch. When we open the watch, we see all of the little mechanisms within inside the craftsmanship of a watch, and it causes it to move so intricately that it keeps perfect time. And everything turns according to its position. And that's the same principle in our soul. When we think, it propels our emotions, which propels our will to choose. Keep in mind whether it's negative or positive. And that's the simplest illustration that I could bring out in illustrating the soul of a man made of three parts: the mind to think, the will to choose, and our emotions. Looking at the word attitude, I want to make sure that we understand the soul of a man and how the attitude affects all three parts of the soul. A settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Now, if the lesson is on an attitude of prayer, we know that it's from a positive perspective. And the Bible teaches us concerning prayer, it teaches us from the positive or a righteous perspective. And as Wanda, as you illustrated, the body needing food continually, then that's the same principle with the attitude, with an attitude of prayer. So now that we understand how the soul of a man is built or made up of, we understand how everything affects each part of the soul, meaning when I think, my emotions are going to be affected, my will to choose is going to be affected. If my emotions are affected, emotions are affected in some kind of way or triggered, then it's going to cause me to think, and then it's going to cause me to react. All three parts are affected. Now let's look at this from the perspective of prayer. Our first point being develop. So if you would, under develop, point one, if you would put A underneath the word develop, capital A, and underneath that we're going to look at growth. So develop, we're going to look at how to develop an attitude of prayer, and then we're going to look at growth as to a child. And I want to keep this very simplistic so that no one gets lost, no one is confused concerning an attitude of prayer. And before we go any further, because we're at the first point, develop, I don't want to assume that everybody listening to this broadcast is saved, that they have given their life to Christ, and Mission from the Heart Radio is in the mission to expose the Word of God, expound the Word of God, yes, but we want to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to every listener to this broadcast. So, brothers and sisters, I think this is a perfect time before we move deeply into this lesson that we would extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, for those of you who are listening who are saved, if you could touch and agree with Wanda and I as she prays a prayer of salvation, for those who may be listening who may not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sin. So we want to extend the gospel. And if you know someone who is not saved, lift them up in prayer as we partner together, touching and agreeing that they come to know Jesus, that they become part of the family, that they would come into the ark of Jesus Christ. So, Wanda, if you could do us the honor of praying a prayer of salvation for someone who just may not know him.
Okay. I come before you, Lord God, and I repent of all my sins. I know that you died on a cross for my sins, and you gave your life for us. Lord, I ask you to that you would accept me and that you would cleanse me, that I would live as you would have me to live. Father God, I repent of all my sins, and I stand asking to be brand new. I stand asking that you receive me, Lord God, that everything that is new, that I am new, all things are old, have been passed away, but now all things are new. This I ask in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. So I hope that you have prayed this simple prayer that our sister in Christ has prayed, that you just repeated after her, that you are brand new, that you grow and go with Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to get into a Bible teaching church and that you would be baptized, that you would let others know that you are a Christ follower, and also that you would be discipled, a small group Bible study or your Sunday school class that will continue to teach you so that you would grow and go in Christ. So hallelujah and praise the Lord that you are now a believer in Christ Jesus, so you just believe that by faith and that you will seek out a Bible-believing church. Amen. So let's look at our first point being develop. And we are going to look at the develop in Scripture. So if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 2. And let's just see what some Scriptures say or tell us concerning develop or development. So I'm going to read this. Wanda, do you have that pulled up?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, so if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and Wanda is going to read, let's start with 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 2, but let's just read verse 1 for the benefit of the passage.
Okay.
So go right ahead, Wanda.
Okay. Peter chapter 2 reads, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation."
And continue.
"Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good."
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And that shows, or it exemplifies, or it teaches us the principle of developing. And if you could read that one more time, Wanda, if you would.
Okay. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Amen. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. And anytime you listen to the broadcast, I always encourage you to invest in a Bible that has three or four different translations, or just purchase different Bibles with three or four that are three or four different translations and a good commentary, and just be ready in a Bible dictionary that you would be able to look at them in a little deeper understanding of the scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal sweet nuggets to you. So this is what I do on a daily basis when I'm studying God's word. So let's look at this passage in the New Living Translation, and I'm going to read it. And it reads this way: so get rid of all malicious behavior and deceit. Don't just pretend to be good. Be done with hypocrisy and jealousy and backstabbing. You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a baby cries for milk. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Now, I tell you, that just helps me better and deepen my understanding, as well as with what Wanda had read. It helps me understand this passage in all of its trueness and all of its simplicity, because it says, don't pretend. Now, this is to the believers in Christ Jesus. This is to the body of Christ. We just prayed, Wanda just prayed a prayer of salvation. And with praying this prayer of salvation, we want to lead so many to Jesus Christ. And through prayer, as she prayed, we hope that those who heard gave their hearts to the Savior. And in this particular passage, it says, get rid of all malicious behavior and deceit. And then it said, don't pretend, but it also says that jealousy, backstabbing, gossip, all of that is not of Christ. It should not be of the body of Christ. All of that is of Satan, the evil one. And then it goes on to say, you must, like newborn babies, crave the spiritual milk of the Word of God. Hunger for it, just as Wanda had indicated or illustrated for us, the body needs food. So does a baby needing its mother's milk. It hungers for the milk of the mother. And that is the same teaching principle as the body of Christ. First, after Jesus Christ himself, he's the living water. He's the bread of life. And through our prayer life, we develop this hunger for him, as it says in Scripture. And it says in verse 2 in the New Living, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow. And I just indicated that for those who prayed the prayer of salvation, when we get baptized and we go down in submersion of water and we rise up, oh, what a day of rejoicing that is. We rise up with newness, in newness of life. The old has passed away, according to what Wanda has said in her prayer. And we get up in a newness of life, born again, and we grow when we become disciples in a good Bible-teaching church. And we start walking with God, and we start moving and hearing. This is development just as a baby moves from from the baby stage into the toddler stage, moving into the teenage stage, and moving right into maturity. These are the stages of life. And it goes on to say, grow into fullness. Fullness, that's full maturity of your salvation. And cry out in prayer for the nourishment as a baby cries for milk. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. And when we taste the kindness, or we taste God in the experiencing of Him through salvation, we have tasted His kindness. And so let's look at another verse. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. So please make note of these verses and the chapters so that you can go back and revisit them. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 1. As we look at the scripture teaching us concerning develop or development. And 1 Peter chapter 2 is a very, very good passage for you to just do a Bible study on those first few verses. But we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. So move over to that, and we're going to focus on or move over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Wanda, if you do have that,
yes,
in front of you, go ahead and read that chapter 3, and we're going to read the verses 1 through 5.
Okay. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere and infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worthy, worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? But when one says, I follow Paul, and another follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servant through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you would go ahead and read 6.
Okay. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. I want to reread that. I want to reread that little point. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Amen.
Amen. So that means, I like to look at that as I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God, and only God, He brings or gives the increase, according to the New King James or the King James translation. He brings the increase. He gives the increase. So there are those in the body of Christ who plant. There are those that God sends out to water. And then He, God, Yahweh, God, Jehovah, God, the maker of all things, He gives the increase. So just as we prayed the prayer of salvation today, we planted seeds, and they
Amen.
Believe the church
Amen.
Will water. The church will water through Bible study, through discipleship, through prayer. The church will water brothers and sisters in Christ by building us up through prayer, encouragement, servant. And God will bring the increase in the body of Christ. Increase will come. As long as we submit to the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and we do not let our soulish man sit on the throne of our life, the throne of our heart. And when I say soulish man, remember, the soul is made up of three parts. And what three parts are those, Wanda? The mind.
The mind. The mind to think.
Correct. The will to choose.
Will to choose and continual prayer.
And our emotions, yes, our emotions. Our emotions are our feelings. Those are the three things that make up, or the three parts that make up the soul of a man. And keep in mind, we were born in sin. So if you think about it, if you really give it some in-depth thought, the soulish man is sinful. It craves sin. It gravitates towards sin. So the Holy Spirit in our new born-again nature and the soulish man are waging war against one another. The soulish man wants its way, that sinful nature that we were born with. But the born-again man, the newness of man, wants to submit to the Holy Spirit that dwells within inside. And so when we yield the Holy Spirit, then we are overcomers. We have defeated. There's a verse that says that it's not coming to mind, but the principle in it is that we keep that under our feet, if you will. We don't give any yielding to the soulish man or that sinful nature that wants to rear its ugly head and try to take control or regain control of our lives. But it can if we are stuck on drinking milk and we don't show any growth. This is what this verse teaches also. And it's so appropriate for this principle, for this first point, develop. The scriptures are teaching us to, as a body of Christ, to grow, to develop. And if I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, and it says in first, again, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And it says that, dear brothers and sisters, now when Paul is addressing the church as brothers and sisters, he's speaking to the body of Christ. Again, the lesson is an attitude of prayer. And it says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would a mature Christian. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world, or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you couldn't handle anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your own sinful desires. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your own desires? You are acting like people who don't belong to the Lord. When One of you says, I am a follower of Paul, and another says, I prefer Apollos. Aren't you acting like those who are not Christians? These are the questions that are being asked. And then in verse 5, it says, who is Apollos? And who is Paul that you should be the cause of such quarreling or quarrels? Why we're only servants, though through us God caused you to believe. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. My job was to plant the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God, not me or not we, who made it grow. The ones who do the planting or watering aren't important, but God is important because he is the one who makes the seed grow. That's verses 1 through 7, 1 through 8 in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I hope some things popped out to you that made you look at yourself, because, again, this is directed to the body of Christ concerning develop. We have to move from immaturity to maturity. And when the body of Christ quarrels amongst each other because of spiritual gifts, because of ministries that are flourishing, or because they did it better than I did it, or I want to be this way like that way, we have to move from worldly desires and worldly actions, or should I say worldly attitude, and move to a development of prayer attitude. And Paul had to address these issues that were stirred up within the body of Christ. And we still have that today. Lastly, in this particular point, development, let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians 4. So if we could turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 13 is the focus verse. Chapter 4, verse 13. And I want to start with, let's start, if you would, Wanda.
Uh-huh.
Start with verse 1, and we'll read it through 13 for the benefit of this particular point.
Okay.
Thank you.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when you ascended on high, when he ascended on high, he led captives and his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly realms? He who descended is the very one who ascends higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to the apostles, some to the prophets, some to the evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for work so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. And read Amen. 14.
Then we would no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming.
Instead,
speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if that does not teach us about develop or development, moving from one infancy stage to full maturity stage, in all of these passages that we read concerning this particular point, it expresses, it teaches us, it calls us to move from milk to meat and to grow as to a child. In every one of these passages, it illustrated child, baby, infancy. And just as you and I have grown from out of the womb of our mother to full adulthood, growth has to take place. Seed was planted by the father, and the nourishment of the mother and every mechanism in her body fed that living being within her womb. Growth took place within the womb of the mother. And when it was God's appointed time, that baby came out of the womb. Life. And this particular, all three of these passages show us how development has to take place when we become born again. In these passages, we cannot stay stagnant, dormant, laying waste, sit soaking and souring on the couch, doing nothing, laying claim to being saved but no movement, no growth. We have no desire. We're just existing, going through the routine things of life, expecting blessings, but not willing to work in the vineyard. This is a call to the body of Christ to have an attitude of prayer. But we've got to show the stages in this lesson of what the body of Christ is lacking. And if we see or look at ourselves as sitting, soaking, and souring, or staying on milk, then we're not doing ourselves any justice. We're not doing any others who may be lost without Christ any justice, meaning we're not leading them to Jesus. And what are we doing for God? Are we praying to him? Are we communicating him to him? Or are we just satisfying ourselves, going through the routines of life? These passages are a call to each and every brother and sister who says that they are a Christ follower. We are to develop an attitude of prayer. And we will look at our next point. The next point is lifestyle. But before I take a deep look at this particular point, we are going to do a part two on this particular teaching lesson, an attitude of prayer, because this is an area in the body of Christ that is very, very weak. Throughout the year, the United States has a day set aside called the National Day of Prayer. And if we who are called by his name would humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven. But there's some things that we need to do, and that's move from immature to maturity. And point two we will look at in detail on our next broadcast. But I hope that you saw the making of a disciple through today's scriptures and how development comes when we become born again. The seed has been planted. God will send those to water, but he will give the increase. Always remember that the soul is made up of three parts: the mind to think, the will to choose, and our emotions or feelings. And the attitude can be of righteousness, or it can be negative. But we're teaching an attitude of prayer, which always teaches an attitude of righteousness. So I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today, A Attitude of Prayer. And we will continue this broadcast or this teaching track on next week, when we look at the last two points of this lesson, an attitude of prayer. But always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless. Amen. And I want to thank my co-host, Wanda Broussard, for being such a blessing to Mission from the Heart Radio, and I pray and hope, Lord willing, that we both will be back on next broadcast to look at lifestyle as point number two and continual as point number three. Thank you again for being faithful to the broadcast, and God bless.